wet, sodden, inedible, utterly disgraceful-looking, broken-down popcorn ball. I didn't have to know who had sent it, though there was an ink-stained scrap of paper in the bottom of it. It was from my old 4-H club leader, who somehow, with a touch of untutored genius, had sensed that Miller, 24 years of age, off in Burma, somewhere in the world, would somehow be carried back to when he was 10, when in her house, after the projects were done, we would make popcorn and somehow glue them into popcorn balls and consume them. Well, her genius was right. It did touch me. I was a little less cynical in the moment. When the war was over, I went to see her, really to thank her for this and how it had touched me. And we sat on her front porch, which had a swing, you know, these swings that have the metal links. I wish they would had never done away with those. And I remember she has a sort of a humble home, had hollyhocks growing up strings. And we sat there and rocked back and forth. And I told her, and I must say to you with a certain amount of candor, I was a little mixed up in those days. I wasn't quite sure what I ought to do with my life. And I was a little upset and embittered by the concept of war. And I was casting about a little bit as an emotional person. I think she sensed it. And I talked to her about it, and she said, and I asked her, you know, how she'd got started into all of this, and it was quite a story. Eighth grade education. Well, she said, you know, when I was married, shortly after I was married, my husband became an invalid. And I nursed him for years until he pulled out of it somewhat. She said, we had children. We had no money. And I worked and nursed and did all of these things. And she said, when I was about 30, I was very bitter. And she said, I would have left my husband and would have deserted the children if I could have thought that somehow I would have had anyone who would have taken me in. But somehow I couldn't do it. And then she said, and it was interesting how she got started, I started to work with kids, my own, you. And she said, something happened to me with this. And a new feeling came into my life. And then she said these words, and I'll always remember. It was through working with children. She said, I had a lot of disappointment. She said, you never used to do very well on some of your work either, Paul, you know. And she said, sometimes when that would happen, I wanted to quit. But the next morning, I'd start all over again. She said, it became central to my life that as I worked with children, I really began to change, and I finally came to see that there was indeed to be a glorious future in the world. Swinging back and forth. Ladies and gentlemen, I've used certain anecdotes as asides in my speech. They're true ones. And I do so because I'm saying to you that it has been women who have taught me whatever measure of tender-heartedness I have, and not men. And so, my final point, if the balance is to be tipped toward tenderness, toward tender-heartedness, and therefore toward civility and survival, the men of the world will need some instruction. And it will not happen if they are to be simply imitated. As women join full force on this task, in occupations and community work and in voluntary associations, they can help all of us to gain the right to render a still higher service. You've been a delightful audience, and I'm privileged to come and be with you.
Dr. Miller, I've heard you on many occasions, and I'm always struck by the wonderful and articulate manner in which you bring a message to a group such as this one. I might say also that you, along with the two speakers this afternoon, have brought a new distinction to the Isabel Bevere Lecture Series, and we are pleased indeed and proud that we could present this program on this at this particular time. I've been asked to announce by the chairman of the committee making the arrangements that there will be an opportunity to meet Dr. Virginia Sanders, Dr. Gertrude Goss, and Dr. Miller. And I hope that you will avail yourselves the opportunity to meet them and talk with them if the time permits, and to partake of some refreshments that have been provided by the program committee. And now, Dr. Trebilcock, unless there are further announcements or comments, may I thank all of the speakers once more, and especially to you, Dr. Miller, for your fine address this evening. We are adjourned. The refreshments...